Yo, welcome to the Chef Salty Pork Podcast with your host Casey and Sean. We're your weekly home for culinary news, insights, tech musings, and everything in between.
That's right. You can also catch us recording and streaming on YouTube at Chef Salty Pork Podcast. Please like, comment, and subscribe to get up-to-date notifications of when we are broadcasting live.
Not right now, because this is pre-recorded.
Yeah, this one is pre-recorded.
Live but hey, eventually. Yeah.
Still check out Sean, you know, check out our links so you'll know when we are live.
Yes, absolutely. Sean, I got news for you. So remember how I told you my car was flooded over? That was a fun one. I dropped it off Friday, right? Last week. They did a thing. Everything is closed here on Sunday, so there's nothing happening on Sunday. So I'm assuming Saturday they did their initial whatever. I got a quote or estimate back Monday.
Oh boy.
Right. And I'm like, okay, cool. What's the next step? So I'm trying to call Geico because I'm not getting any confirmation or whatever. So yesterday I was on a phone for about almost an hour on Geico. I was like, hey, real quick. So I got the estimate back. Did you guys get anything back from the dealers? Do you guys show anything at all? They're like, no. And I'm like, oh, well, that's unfortunate because I need my car sooner than later because I can't rent out anywhere at all.
Right, yeah.
They're like, huh, interesting.
The rental market is messed up for a whole bunch of reasons.
Yeah. They're like, okay, just give me a second. Where did you take it? Then we went through the whole prompt. She was like, look, I know you waited a long time. How about you call them right now, Subaru, see if we can iron that out. I was like, wow, look at you, forward thinking. I literally called Subaru on the same line, and then I spoke to Chris, who was the guy that was taking care of it. He goes, yeah, no, I submitted the thing. And then she interjected. She's like, by any chance, how did you submit it? He was like, well, I just emailed the one that Casey forwarded it. She's like, yeah, no, that's not how it goes. It should, you know, we have forms. Like, you should know how to do it. And then, yo, homie got pressed. He's like, no, that's not. I've done this before, blah, blah. We just sent it over. I'm like, I kept quiet, Sean. I was just like, yo,
sure, yeah, somebody fucked up. Hammer it out.
Yeah. So anyway, literally 2 days delayed. So this is the messed up part, right? They could have literally started this Monday rather, I should say. And I would have had my car back, I don't know, today or tomorrow or some shit. Sure. Now it's pushed back another day because they're confirming for funds. Also, FYI, it's $6,000.
So what's the extent of the damage? Like, what... Yeah, what?
I'm actually going to show you, Sean. Since, as you know already, most everything is technology based, right? Sure. A lot of, most of the cars are all, yeah, I'm going to put it onto the screen right here so you can see. This is my actual email. Removal or replacement of the following parts. So the carpet is going to take $450. That's ridiculous. The amp is what blew, pretty much, right?
Right. $600. Sure. Yeah.
The entry module, my key doesn't work, Sean, when I press shit.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't do anything. But the seats is what did most of the damage. So the front, both passenger and the driver's side, the seats are fucked. And that's where all the electronics are.
Tire pressure monitoring system is down too. Wow.
Yeah. So all of that in total is, well, this is the labor, $2,000 in the labor, parts and stuff. It's a big one. But anyway, I called insurance. I'm like, hey, or rather I emailed the guy actually, because I get confirmation last night at like 10:30 p.m. I was like, oh my God, look at that. We could have literally had this done all like today. I was like, hey, just making sure what is covered by insurance. He's like, everything is covered except your deductible. Obviously, you have to pay it.
Sure.
I was like, great. Good. So I'm not paying $6,000. I'm only paying $500. So... It's a win. I think it's a win. It's a pretty good win.
Yeah, I mean, this is why you pay for insurance, and you know, all things considered, it could have been significantly worse.
Yeah, you think I would have had to pay more if they had like to total the car? Maybe. Would that be like covered? I don't know.
I mean, they would just then cut you a check for what the car is worth. But then, like, you know, you'd be in a position where, like, it's like, all right, well, you're going to get the book value for the car, and now you need to figure out a new car.
Yeah.
So ultimately, that's going to cost you more. And I know, like, you know, your car is nice. It's well appointed. So, you know, if they can unsoggy it and give you a new radio.
Unsoggy the car?
Yes. Yeah, it'd be pretty good to go. You know, all things considered. Absolutely. That's that, man. It's a Subaru, you know. Mm-hmm. It's good for our climate and area. And the build quality is otherwise good. So, yeah, for $500 to get back out there, you know.
Yeah.
Plus whatever your increased premium will be over, you know, over time.
I don't want to talk about it. Sean. It's going to be hiked up like another fucking $100.
Again, man, that's the game. That's the game. They don't get it back.
Yeah, it is the game. I know. It's like, it's unfortunate because the only two claims that we've ever filed on that account was when we hit the bear.
Oh yeah,
California 2 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm. And that wasn't in your car, right?
Correct. It was in a rental. So I was like, when I was filing the claim first, I'm like, what the hell is this animal thing? And then I clicked on it. I was like, oh my God, it's the bear from 2 years ago. I was like, oh wow, that's okay, great. And then, you know, obviously I had to play.
All things considered, I mean, you know, both are acts of God, right?
I couldn't do anything, but still, yeah, though, Sean, it's $500, man.
Couldn't do anything. Yeah, $500. It's, you know, it's better not that you wanted to 6,000. Pay it, but yeah, definitely better than $6,000. And, you know, you get some new life on some of those parts there.
Yeah, I guess. I was just like, I was talking to my brother. I was like, how much you think would I get if I sold this right now back to Subaru and just fucking down payment like a new car? Like, because, like, if you think about it, because I'm still paying, like, you know, insurance and all that, and then, like, the extended warranty. I'm like, if I'm just going to X out extended warranty, get a new car, get that all situation together, and I would still kind of win because now it's a new car. It's almost 10 years old, too.
I mean, maybe, but it's also, like, the worst time to buy a car.
No.
Like, the worst. Like, it's the worst time to buy a car, new or used. It's not a bad time to be selling a used car if it's not, like, flood damaged. But, yeah, it's just, it's not the greatest time to buy a car. But, you know, all things considered, you know, if you were already in the market, this might be time to kind of jump off the porch and get into something 2020 or 2021.
Yeah. I just want more like trunk space. Like when you're hauling like equipment, it feels like it's too little. Like it really is. There's not enough stuff. I would prefer like a hatchback where it just opens up and you can literally push the seats down. You can just haul like a whole bunch of stuff in it. I would be happier, I think,
if I were to
get one of those cars.
I mean, I know, like, you know, you do your music and you're hauling equipment. Would you be moving on to an SUV? Like, do you think you're at that point? Or
no, I don't think so. Because
it's like, where do you go? There's only but a few wagons on the market.
You know, like, I was looking at the Subaru Outback. So it's like station wagon-ish.
Sure, really. Yeah, my mom has one of those.
A little higher up, like it feels nice and it opens up this way in the back, you know. I was thinking more something like that. I don't want a sedan, like I really don't. Like I've been driving Caitlin's car for the past, I don't know, 3 days, and it's the most annoying vehicle, Sean.
What kind of car is it?
It's a Mazda 3.
Okay, like, so it's a smaller car. Efficient.
I don't know how to explain to you, like when you turn like slightly, bro, that shit turns like it's
I mean, it should. It's a small car. The
no. The I don't want it. I don't want it to turn that way, Sean.
Significantly smaller accidents. Than your car.
I was like the first time I drove it in the house, I was like, whoa, okay, can we stop?
Yeah,
that's, I'm just trying to turn it. So it's like
when I go from the SUV to the Honda, like. After not having
driven
the Honda for a while. Yeah, it's just like, this is like a go-kart. Like, I feel so connected to every turn and movement.
I don't know. I don't like it. That's all I got to say. I like the other one because it not necessarily I feel safe, but when you turn, I'm expecting like a smooth, like I'm turning now. The other one, if I'm turning, little jut, you're like over the fucking corner in like a second.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
So I'm just like, what kind of power, what kind of crazy power steering is happening? Can we decrease it? It's like the sensitivity of your mouse for like gamers. Like, oh, like my this goodness. Fucking like that would it shoots be, up like left and
that
right.
That would be so crazy to have a small car like that with a wide turning. Oh my, I would not want that. You just meander into traffic with like a small car. No, man, I need to be light and agile.
No, but I get it. I guess if I've driven it longer, it'd feel
yeah.
more
yeah, it would become the new norm to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
my wife also drives weird.
The first days of like being in the SUV, and it's just like I felt like I was in a bathtub.
Right? He was like, yeah.
There's so much room. I can't, you know, yeah. I gotta crane my head more, you know, to turn to see different things and rely on cameras because there are just some blind spots
it's
that
bigger.
You can't, yeah, uh-huh. negotiate around. But yeah, going back the other way, question. It's like, all right, I gotta put a backup camera in this
way?
Little car. I gotta figure it out.
Do you drive one handed? On the SUV?
No, not yet.
You just drive one handed and you just like turn like a boss. Just like, yo, turn this way. No, on a small car, I can't even do that, Sean. I have to like literally, I'm 10 and 2, Sean. I'm just like, cannot let go of this fucking steering wheel. I'm just
like, exactly.
It's just
man.
So
it
weird.
Like, you know, you're literally on a wire, like connected to the wheels.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess if I wanted to drive a go-kart. So if everyone listening, if you want to drive a go-kart, Mazda 3.
Yeah,
it's
man.
The way to go.
Shout out to,
or
the,
any
ma-
small
to the
car,
Mazda 3.
Guess, you know,
at one point in time, the Mazda 3 was definitely on my list of cars to consider. Yeah. You know, build quality is mm-hmm. good. You know, had some mm-hmm. Mazdas in my family that have made it damn near to 300,000 miles. So I was like, all right, it's confidence
oh, wow.
there. Yeah. And the newest Mazda 3s are really, really nice. Like
are
fit
they?
And finish wise. So yes, yeah, something to consider, but it definitely doesn't
so.
Work with the size of my growing family.
No, I know. So would you stay with imported cars or would you stay with American cars?
I have never. Well, I can't say I've never driven an American car because I have,
okay.
but it kind of belonged to an ex-girlfriend of mine, and that car, okay. that car in particular, was okay. But I would probably stick with in Japanese imported cars if
me too.
I've had like the best luck with those
mm-hmm. lots of parts. I mean, I'm not saying
yeah.
that American cars aren't a lot of parts either, but much easier to search. Like, bro, if a Toyota breaks down, thousands upon thousands of stuff with Toyotas and stuff.
Oh yeah,
Ford,
it's like
maybe
all
not
these
so
aftermarket
much.
Parts. I was describing like I was
yeah.
walking through the neighborhood with my wife this morning, and we were talking about as we were like passing these different cars. We're talking about like, oh, what kind of car will we get for my daughter when she gets into her teens? I was like, we're gonna get her a Toyota because they're like toasters.
Yeah,
like toasters
Toyota.
Don't break; they just toast.
Yeah, man.
You know, and they're like mm-hmm. inoffensive. They're well designed, and they do what they do, and you know. For your first car, I feel like that's what's important, right? It should be
reliable.
Built well, reliable, and if something were to break, you know, there needs to be good parts available. Like I had my first car was a Saab, and it was like the worst
Ooh.
Idea for that for all of those reasons. It's like the car mm-hmm. was okay, but the parts availability was trash. So like when things broke because. It was an older used car. Like I'd be, you know, asked out until we could find the parts, and then you'd have to find someone who knew how to fix the car. And yeah, there was one
what
issue
is Saab?
That
is that
we
German?
Ran into. Yeah, it sucked.
What's that? What's Saab? Is that a German car?
And Saab is Saab. Swedish.
Swedish.
Yeah, Saab. Yeah. They don't. Yeah, and there was a Swedish company that at one time was owned by. Toward the end of the company's life was owned by General Motors and
oh, wow.
they no longer make
yeah,
cars
Sweden.
Anymore. But yeah. Again, for a lot of different reasons, but yeah. Like I got my Saab right toward the end of when they were manufacturing cars and my car wasn't the brand
oh, wow.
new. So parts availability was not that great, but shout out to the Saab 900 and the Saab 9.3. We had some good memories in you. For the short time,
I mean, my aunt had a Toyota Corona, Corona before you transition to Corolla.
Yeah, shout out to the Corona.
Mm-hmm. It looked like fucking from like this straight up 70s body, you know, hard hard corners, sharp and shit. Everything was broken, Sean. It had like 375,000 miles on it. It still ran though. It still ran like a fucking perfect car out of the lot, even though everything inside was busted. Everything was breaking apart. You cannot kill that fucking engine. I guarantee you, if they didn't leave, because my aunt's not no longer here in the States, she's back in the Philippines. If they stayed here, that car would still be theirs.
It
was perfect. Four speed, can't fuck with it. Like it ran like a motherfucker. Yeah. None of the gauges worked. They just guessed to put gas in it. You know what I mean?
Sure.
The lights barely worked, and it's stick shift. Like yo, this shit seen some shit, but it ran. So it was crazy.
You know, and again. You know, some things are going to just break over time, right? Like rubber seals are going to crack and get old. Hoses are going to break. Yeah, wires are going to short. That. Like you can't really get around that. But it's the other components that like, you know, are super, super crucial to like having a running car. And with my Saab in particular, I remember like it was a very, very cold morning and I hadn't like driven a car for like a week or something like that. And I went to cold start it and like, the engine turned on, it shuddered, and then I heard metal shoot from underneath the car. And my dad and I are just like in the driveway like, well, he's like, I guess you're using my car for the next couple of days. As we figure out like, you know, need to put the car in a flatbed and ship it to like a Saab specialist, like, you know, in a different part of the state Saab to specialist. Source an engine, you know, like source a whole nother engine. And, you know, again, like we were able to get it fixed. It was not cheap, you know. In hindsight, it might have been better. We would have probably been better off just sinking that money into something else. But, you know, it made it through another winter and a half, and then I moved on to something else.
Got it. So did you pawn it off? Did you sell it? You're like, nah, fuck it.
No, I think, what did we do? At the end, I ended up donating the car for like a tax credit to like, charity for the blind. Yeah, because like when it broke down time, like I was like, well, what are we gonna like? I literally can't move this thing. It's just been sitting here in the backyard for like a few. Like, I feel like again, it was another winter, so it might have sat in the backyard under a tarp until the spring. And then made it happen and got it up and out of there.
Yeah, you know, tax write offs. That's what's up.
You know, that was the end of my.
Your Saab legacy, with the Saab. I should say.
Yeah. Weird car, man. Like the key where like the ignition switch was like down by the gear shift. It was just... Yeah. So instead of like, you put your key
instead of
by
here,
like
it's here.
Yeah, down there. And like because Saab was like a company that used to make planes, the way they designed the dashboard, it was like a cockpit. So like the gauges look like airplane dials. And if you imagine,
kinda cool,
instead of the dashboard being flat across the front, it was tilted on one side toward the driver.
Left side.
Well, imagine right it wraps side. From, if you're in the left seat, your driver's side seat, it slants from the left and kind of wraps around you to the right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So like,
wow,
yeah.
Weird.
So, yeah, it was, again, weird car. It was cool. It was cool. You know, it was cool. It was cool for what it was. It was a big, safe, slow car that I'm glad that I learned how to drive in. But it wasn't the most reliable one. So for that, I would definitely say get yourself a Honda or Toyota. Oil change it up and you'll be golden. You know, all you'll need to do is repaint it in a few years.
For the longest time, I wanted like an old car. When I say old car, like old people car, because they make them seats fucking lush.
Oh,
like I'm talking
boy.
like a Lincoln or like a Grand Marquis or some shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like you sit down and you're like, yo, my ass feels good. You know, like
for real,
you
it's
feel
like
all
a,
nice and
a,
shit.
A whole sofa with like the air
it's like
suspension
a sofa.
Beneath it. So like you really feel like you're going to fall asleep if you're a passenger.
Yeah, it's so nice.
Man, I remember one of my basketball coaches, this is a dude, his nickname was Hat. I forget what his name is now, but Hat, shout out to Hat. And he picked me up from a game one time to like drive me home, back home to my parents. And he pulled up in his like Lincoln Mark 8 or whatever it was. It was like a Lincoln Continental coupe. And like sank into the chair. I just felt like I was in heaven. It felt so good. Lush that seat was. And you know, it was a drive across Brooklyn, and you know, at the time this, you know, there was potholes and stuff, but like the potholes felt like suggestions, like because of like the way the suspension, like it was the most comfortable car that I've ever sat in.
Now, I
as opposed to other cars that are like tuned for like sport. So like, you know, if you hit a pothole, you feel like you need to immediately book an appointment with a chiropractor or something.
Cars. That's all I gotta say. Cars.
Yeah, man.
Eventually. It's at 100,000 miles now. I don't really drive the car too much.
That's great. How many? What? It was like a 2013?
It's a 12. Yeah, it's a 2012.
So, dude, that's still great. You got
it's like less perfect. Than, I know. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
You've seen a third of the life on that car should you decide to ride it all the way out. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, for $500
like Subarus will go like over 300,000 easy. They have lots. They have cars in a lot. They're over... Mm-hmm. 300,000 still fucking working condition. Obviously they're older, but that's like their showpieces. They're like, you know, just to let you know, this has been us like 20 fucking 30 years. Still rides, you know, same shit. But for $500, that's what I'm saying, you can't beat it. So
nah, not at all.
I'd still would like a new car. That's eventually.
sure. Again, yeah, it's like, you know, there are going to be some lifestyle changes or, you know, you just can't get around, right? Like, if you need more trunk space, you're not going to cut a hole in your trunk and build a roof. And, you know, like, you're going to need another vehicle or another solution. But I don't know.
Well, to ask you, too, like, since, I guess, like I said, you have a kid, right? Did you feel that upgrading to the minivan was, like, the best way? Like, did you think getting, like, maybe... just like a regular SUV would have been efficient, or did the minivan solve your issues and your problems when you finally had a kid? Because it's,
well, I would definitely you're
buying
that
it for
we,
space.
We didn't get a minivan. We did get an SUV, but like minivan would have been, I don't know. It wouldn't have been practical for all things considered because like, I don't know, at some point you got to like, you know, think about, the cost benefit of like paying more for fuel, and what are you doing with all that extra space all the time, right? Like
got it.
It's like for us, it's the three of us for the most part, and sometimes you know my mother-in-law goes for rides, and it's more than enough space for all of us and storage for a day trip, right? Which is fine, and we live here in the city, so we're not going too far, you know. Like, would a smaller car been more fuel efficient? Sure, but this car still gets like high 20s on the city streets and like in the 30s on the highway, so it's good, you know.
It's good.
Yeah, and then you know, like I said, it works. Should our family grow, maybe we consider something else, but I don't think that would be something that we would need to realistically entertain for some time.
Got it. Because I was just wondering, I always like to future, not future proof, but like wonder, okay, in the future, maybe, right? What if, I always like asking that question, because I'm like, what if I need XYZ? Like right now, specifically for my needs, I literally need more trunk space. Just a guitar, a cab, like a speaker cab, and like my three of my bags for effects, and like the little stomping light that we have. That's everything. And more. Sure. Then I have to stick shit in the back seat.
In the back seat.
You know?
Right.
Like I have no space for, even though it's 5 items, I can't necessarily like stack them on top of each other. They need to be away from itself. So it's pretty, I don't know. Again,
you know, lash bag that drops down the seat. You know, when you're in the market to truly move on to something else, you should pack all your stuff in your car and bring it to the dealership.
And stage it.
Like, seriously, like, you know, you want to understand, like, how are you going to live with this stuff? Because, like, I would hate, considering these are things that you need to bring with you when you gig, to underestimate how much space you know, something truly is. And like, I remember when we were doing our research on SUVs, like despite the difference of the size of the car, because of the way things are arranged, like the height of the floor of the trunk, or the way the seats are positioned or can be positioned, can considerably change how much cubic inches you have for you know, for the storage of different things. And there were actually cars that were smaller that had more storage space than others.
Interesting. You know?
Yeah. And then again, like in particular, you know, since we were going to be carrying a car seat, you know, for the foreseeable future, it was like super crucial to be like, all right, cool, we're going to sit in this car at a dealership and I'm going to put the car seat in the back. I need to see, like, how does this fit? Like, just if you turn it around the other way, like, is this car seat going to fit? But my kid has to sit, you know, crisscross legs because, you know, I wanted something with, like, better fit and finish. It's like, you know, hey, Victoria or myself, right? One of us needs to sit in the passenger seat in front of the car seat to see, like, far can you push the seat back? Like, how are you going to be comfortable for an extended trip? You know, like, how, you know, so I would definitely say, like, hey, any salesman worth their salt is going to be, should be fine with you saying, like, hey, I need this thing to do this thing. What's the best fit? Let's try it out. Here's my gear, you know?
Yeah.
Obviously, you don't want to bring it. Yeah. Like, bring it here. It'd be like, look, my car's out in front. You know, I'm willing to make a move, but it needs to work out for me. So meet me where I am.
I think I should just bring, like, cardboard boxes of the same configuration.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't want to scratch your fucking...
Yeah.
But that's a great idea. Yeah, yeah. I definitely want to... It's a good... it's a good...
Yeah, again, you know, it's like tip, maybe, bro. You know, there could be something that works for you. And, you know, since you don't have kids right now... Like, hey, if you fold down the seats, this car would work for you. It's, you know, it's an SUV of this size. It'll work for you, and you save some money here or there on that, you know?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's funny. Like, all these, all these thoughts, like, different configurations of a car could change the cargo space. Like, hey, did you get one with the upgraded stereo? Well, that means that the subwoofer is now in the floor of the trunk, and because of that, you can't fold the seats in this way, and you wouldn't know it, you know. And from the outside looking in, you're just like, oh, it's the same size car. I've seen someone else with the same car, all their stuff fits, but it's not going to fit for you because you got this feature or didn't. So you know, things to consider.
Talking about subwoofers, yay or nay?
Yeah, yeah, okay. You know, like, you know me. I'm always going to divert to audio, you know, and gadgetry. I'm just saying, like, you know, even if you happen, let's say you happen to be on, like, the used lot of a dealership, and you're just like, oh man, this is the right price for me. But, you know, that's a feature that, again, you were trying to pay for, but just happens to be there, but it could impact your storage space as well.
Yeah, it's all about, I mean, at least for me, it's all about the gear, because I need easier access going to and from gig spaces, and it's clearly lacking in my current vehicle. And also, like, I want to keep it in the Subaru family only because, or like, at least like a four-wheel drive, again, for the just in case it just happened, you know, crazy storm or some shit like that. But like, water damage is so unreal, bro. It's nuts, because like in snow, bro, I churn through that like butter. It's kind of dangerous on that car. It's like, you don't feel it. And I'm like, I should slow down. I really should be more mindful of everybody else, even though my car can go through this. But in water, man, I can imagine if I just had a regular vehicle and try to drive through that shit, it would have, it would just stalled, I think. It would just,
I can't imagine what it would have been like to drive through some of those storms in the Honda. Cause it's like significantly lower design, right? Like, it'd be all sorts of waterlogged, and you know, maybe we'd be looking at the insurance company for to just be totaled soggy out car. At that point.
But yeah. Oh man. It's that's the whole prolonged story. Hopefully I get it back soon. I still can't rent anything here in Jersey unless I go, like, I don't know, like up in Wayne or some shit. I'm like, I'm not gonna go all the way to Wayne, man. Just to
it's
rent a car.
Like, it's a rental car for a lot of reasons. You know, one is the shortage of car parts, which means that there are less cars being purchased. And also, you know, because there were less cars being purchased, and with COVID concerns, a lot of people were deciding to go on their vacations in rental cars. So like at the height of the vacation season, all the cars that would have been available were being usurped. And the ones that were left, you're getting charged a crazy premium just to get. So like cars that you might have been able to rent for like, you know, $50 to $100 a day were going for, you know, $250 to $300 to $400 a day just because.
It's ridiculous. You know?
Yeah, you know, and the rental market, they can't rent used cars, right? Like they, I mean, they only keep cars around for, you know, 15,000 to, you know, less than 30,000 miles. Because they want to be able to make sure that they're renting you a car that works, right? Like,
I did not know that. I thought they just like whatever is on their lot, they just bring and then they it up, sell whatever, and then
they sell.
Oh, yeah. And then they
once
sell.
Once they get to a certain mileage threshold, you know, like you can purchase, you know, a used car from Enterprise, and it's gonna just be at like the mileage threshold that keeps you within like some of the warranty from the original manufacturer. But yeah, but you know, because there were no cars, they weren't buying cars, and then everyone was like, "I'm not getting on a plane. I'm gonna go on a road trip," and then there's no cars, and then you have a thing like, you know, in this area where like everyone's car, a lot of people's cars got flood damage, they're gonna turn to the car rental market, and it's gonna be even more scarce. So I could see how you feel like, yeah, to even get a car, you need to go way out of the way to get it.
Go north, yeah, or go out. Like literally, I can go all the way south. Almost like Plainfield. So almost like an hour out. I'm like, I'm not going to go all the way out there just for a fucking car. And also, sorry for the crazy light right now. So what happened, Sean, they took out all the fucking trees outside. Not took out.
Yeah, I was like, you got some serious God rays happening.
Yeah, some serious glare happening on this side. But since the storm, a lot of the trees were like smacking into the, I'm assuming the apartments, a lot of overhang, and they didn't want any of that. So they just chopped off like the good size on the halves of it, and then now I have crazy light coming. It's kind of nice, but other than that, it's nothing too crazy. Sean, I do have a few things though before we do end. I do kind of want to show you. I kind of wanted to get into the iPhone 13. I know you're a big iPhone fan, but like at the same time, I kind of want to wait. I want to wait one more week.
Okay.
Only because I have some buddies that have it. Mm-hmm. And purchase it, which is insane to me. I'm just like, bro, you just got a phone like 6 weeks ago. Like, are you nuts? It's just that's like their whole life. I get it. However the fuck you spend your money, that's your money, bro. Sure. I'm just saying, you're crazy. You're crazy. Anyway, on this one though, Sean, check this out. Mega Slice of Jones chose pizza.
Whoa.
It's like, whoa.
Whoa. What is what is at the top of the crust there?
I think it's like little knots with like filled with cheese, I'm assuming, like garlic knots. I have no idea.
That is interesting.
New Jersey's Pizzeria's Madhouse approach to Italian American favorites. I don't even know where this is. I'm assuming it's like, Joe's Rotisseria. In Jersey. I don't know where in Jersey, but a General Tso's chicken pizza.
I think. Yeah. I think you'd have to try.
Yeah, you'd mess with it.
I think so. Okay. It's so curious. I am curious about a lot of things. Like, why is it so big? Why General Tso's? And what is going on with that crust? So at least two of those questions I feel like I need to have answered. So I am for a slice of that pizza.
Okay. Walmart exclusively selling a huge 488-piece Halloween candy box. This is kind of cute. I thought it was kind of nice.
Yeah.
Like an everything package, as Halloween is approaching.
Packaging. Do you think...
488, though.
I was just thinking that. I was like, that's a lot of pieces of candy.
That's a lot. It's a lot, my guy.
How many pieces for 30 of bucks, candy though? Do you... Yeah, I mean, 20... Yeah, that's fair.
Well, it's
fair.
The minis. It says mini
pieces.
Mini.
Okay.
So I'm Jolly assuming Ranchers, like
Rolos, Reese's, Twizzlers. So how many?
Jolly Ranchers,
if you
like
took a handful
maybe
of those candies, how many pieces do you think you're getting a good handful?
Like 10, maybe.
Okay.
adult 10.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying, know? Yeah, you're so an adult 10. Was that like a kid?
If you're a kid, maybe like 3 or 4, just like, oh, cool, thank you, la, la, la. Just say trick or treat, and then, you know, out you go. I think it's kind of a cool investment. It's like a whole bunch of things already. $30, though. I dig that. It's kind of cheap, sort of. Yeah. October 31st, though. You have to wait quite a bit, so. I don't know. Could be a little too late. I don't know. I don't know how parents.
Yeah, I feel like that thing, you should get that up and out, you know, beforehand, so people can have
even
it
earlier.
Yeah, ready, yeah, in their homes and ready for the Halloween candy extravaganza.
I don't know,
but I do like the idea of that mixed pack of candy saves a lot of guesswork.
And, yeah, like you don't have to choose different. Yeah,
and it looks like you could serve it out of the container, right? So, like, if you don't even have, like, you can pop that bad boy open and, hey, grab your handful of Kit Kats.
And then finally, Sean, Kit Kats, the chunky version with Cinnabon. So, like, this is like half and half, I guess. It's kind of crazy, right? It has like the Cinnabon. I'm assuming Cinnabon filling. That's what the fuck
filling,
that is.
Filling, yeah. I'm going to assume that that's what that is. That.
And it's like a big chunker. Look at it. It's like almost like a Snicker bar.
Yeah. I don't know if I could commit to the whole bar, but I would definitely go for a bite.
Just would you try it? Yeah?
Yeah, I would try.
I think Caitlin would go crazy for this, man. She loves Kit Kat. Loves Kit Kat.
I would love to be walking through like the aisles of a Costco and someone sashays up with a tray of those and they're just like Cinnabon Kit Kat. And I'm like, I was here for the Kirkland lemonade, but I think I will.
Sashays out.
Yeah, man. Oh, you're going to saunter up with one of those. You can find me in any aisle with one of those. I am definitely going to sample
it. Okay. It's a good idea all the way to right. Yeah, man. Not too crazy, though.
Meet me in the parking lot.
Meet me in the parking lot. Like we mentioned, it's just Halloween that we're waiting on in terms of restaurant. I know we haven't really been talking restaurants so much. However, as soon as we get to... I don't want to say October because October is next week, but yeah, like really mid-October, when the fall switches over, we'll start ironing out some new concept, new dishes or new fall ingredients that we can run at the restaurant. I know we're going through a little phase right now at the restaurant where we're switching into fall menu. Mm-hmm. So lots of that stuff is moving away. So I'll let you know how that transpires. But anything other than that, though, I really want to hear your take on the iPhone 13 next week.
Oh yeah,
and
for
whatever
sure.
Else that's,
yeah, yeah, we can.
That's coming out because I know you're an iPhone.
Yeah, I'm definitely an iPhone dude, and I can tell everyone ahead of time. I did not get an iPhone 13. Probably will not be, but yeah, we can definitely get into the why next week.
Mm. The Pixel 6, though, so excited for it. So excited for it. My phone is but it's been like almost 2 years. I love the Samsung shit, but I love the Pixel shit. Like I'm for it. I don't know what it is. Just feels great. It was my favorite phone ever. So in terms of all that. But anyway, Sean, if you want to just ask him out, however you feel, a quote of the day, a phrase of the day, something, give him a tip, give him a hot take. I'm over these Cheetos shit. I'm telling you right now. That's my hot take. Everything Cheetos or the hot, spicy, whatever. Can we all just chill the hell with that? Because it's annoying as shit now. Now it's just like, okay, cool. Now you're just riding on the fat.
Yeah. I guess my hot take would be an impassioned plea for everyone out there. It's like, look, like I understand that, you know, the world is opening up in different ways. And that's going to require a little bit of all of us to, you know, have a semi-standard functioning society. But we got to do our parts, man. So seriously, wear your masks. You know, if you've been vaccinated already, you know, have your information at the ready for when you're walking into these establishments. You know, try not to give any friction to someone who is asking this information. Because like we were watching the news the other day, and it's like you just be spotted stories of like all sorts of friction at like restaurants and businesses as people are asking for vaccination cards. Mm-hmm. It's like, dude, no one wants to do this. Right? Yeah. Like we would all rather just be things be like they used to be, but they're not.
But they're not.
But if you want to get there between now and then, have your information at the ready. You know, and understand, like, look, if you don't have your information there, you have to find a different way to, you know, get these goods and products. I mean, the other day, walked into a restaurant, you know, with I had to sit down and eat. And usually I literally have my vaccination card on me. And I didn't have a picture of it.
Oh, snap.
And again, and when I realized, I was like, okay, cool. So we're going to order, take something to go. And, you know, as soon as I got back in the house, made sure that I had a picture of the card on me. Like I literally walked with the card and just didn't take a picture of it. You know, put it in the drawer, didn't take a picture. There was no static. You know, these are the expectations of, you know, everyone trying to do what they can to be safe. Like, I know that I'm vaccinated, you know, but it wasn't worth putting up a fight, you know, and like, why would you do that? Just be prepared. Be prepared. These are the things that are the expectation. So try to do your best. Put your ego aside and just be ready to just get out there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I got for everyone. It's just like, hey, be prepared. Like these at this point in time, these are not secrets. They're not secrets.
Yeah. Should be. It's not a prerequisite, but it's assumed of everybody. Yeah, you know, just to be safe.
Yeah. Again, it's like, look,
and they're not doing it too.
I don't know what it would actually take to convince someone at this point to get vaccinated or not. You know, like, I don't know. It's like, it's been free. There's been incentives. Mm-hmm. There's been PR campaigns. I mean, I literally saw at one point, you know, the city of New York was giving out Xboxes with a copy of NBA 2K. And I was like, damn, I got vaccinated. I might go get another shot. Shit. I'd like another Xbox. But still, like, it's just like, at this point, like, we're kind of past that. So rather than be an ass in the vestibule of some place that you wanted to pay to eat or pay to get into, just be prepared. However that's going to be. Like I said, if you're not going to take the steps to get vaccinated, well then get your order to go or figure it out another way. And if you are, just make sure you got your stuff handy so, you know, you can just do what you'd like to do. Do what you got to do. And that's what I got.
Cool. All right, y'all. You can get all our information at Chef Salty Pork Podcast. Any questions at all, ask Chef Salty on gmail.com. However, from us both, though,
peace out, internet.